Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
Welcome, everyone, to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. Thank you so much for listening. We have a phenomenal, phenomenal end-of-year show. We've been doing this now with my buddies Peter Schrager and Andrew Perloff. We get together for a roundtable at the end of every year and talk about the year in sports, the year in media, the year in pop culture. Schrager and Perloff are always very entertaining. I know a lot of you have asked if we were going to do this again because we've done it for the last 3 or 4 years. So that's this show here, last SI Media with Jimmy Traina podcast in 2023. Before we get to it, just a quick reminder. Last week, if you missed it over Christmas, hope you guys had a nice Christmas. We did an all Traina Thoughts mailbag edition with Sal Licata. You guys sent in a bunch of great questions on sports media, non-sports media. So we did that last week, 2 weeks ago. We had a bonus pod also with AEW wrestler MJF, which was great. 2 weeks ago, Andrew Marchand was on the pod. We've had Seth Rollins from the WWE, Booger McFarlane, Mike Tirico, all recent guests on SI Media with Jimmy Traina. So if you missed any of those, give them a listen. Subscribe to the pod and leave a review on Apple. All right, it's the 2023 year-end SI Media podcast extravaganza with Peter Schrager and Andrew Perloff right here, right now on SI Media with Jimmy Traina. All right, joining me now, this is now either the third or fourth annual. I meant to look it up and forgot. I am a terrible host. That's how bad this is. It's either the third or fourth annual end-of-year SI Media podcast extravaganza, where I bring on two of my buddies, two pillars in sports media, from Good Morning Football and Fox, Peter Schrager, and from the Maggie and Perloff show on CBS Sports Radio, Andrew Perloff. Fellas, thank you for doing this yet again. Does anyone know third or fourth year?
No idea.
Definitely did it during COVID. I remember being in my hovel of like a, you know, children's bedroom recording it. So that was 2020. Yeah. So I'd say this is 2021, 2022. I'd say this is the fourth year.
I think so, yeah, too.
I get a lot of reaction off this. I don't know if you guys do. I have to be very careful. Very careful, because we all have friends in the media. Jimmy, I don't know how you do this on a week-to-week basis. Criticize the media. It must be tough.
He doesn't criticize. Jimmy has on Robert Griffin to talk for 60 minutes about Robert Griffin, and then we'll say the next week, like, I think Robert Griffin's really good at like TV and media. Like, it's not, he doesn't criticize. You know how Jimmy plays the game, Andrew.
Don't talk to NBC if I criticize.
Oh, and you're sitting there just breaking apart Roger Goodell's every move there, Peter.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Jimmy had on McAfee. Jimmy had McAfee on the next 100 tweets were just how amazing McAfee is. I'm like, Jimmy, it's okay. It's okay. We get it. He did you a solid. It's all right, bro. You don't have to do anything. It's good. We understand. It's good.
Good Morning Football is the only show in America that doesn't think the NFL has a ref problem. So relax. Relax.
Darius Tony was offsides. What are we complaining about?
Yeah. Right. You know what's crazy about that? If they don't call that penalty, I mean, it was a penalty, but forget that. Let's say Tony was not offsides. Mm-hmm. Like, how, especially you, Shrakes, being the NFL guy, like,
yeah.
How would that Kelsey play? Like, that's the play of the year and across every sport, right?
Yeah. Dude, it had the crazy symmetry that no one discussed the next day. I brought it up, but Frank Wycheck died that morning. At 52, and the most legendary play of the 90s might have been Frank Wycheck and the Music City Miracle. He happens to suddenly pass away in the morning, and then in the evening against the Bills, Travis Kelce does the same exact thing to Tony as he's darting down the sidelines like he's Kevin Dyson and scores. It would have been such a ridiculous, like, eerie slash sentimental, like, tribute to Wycheck, and then it's all for naught, and we end up talking about, you know, I think Goodell had the quote at the owners meetings the next week. He's like, you know, we complain about, I'll paraphrase my boss, but we complain about all the missed calls. They actually got that call right. I don't know what you want. Like, it's just whether they want to call it or not.
Well, my co-host Maggie Gray is a Bills fan, Jimmy. You know, she said it'd been like eighth play that against the Bills that would have a nickname. You know, Music City Miracle, a wide right, 13 seconds. Like, they're a nickname worthy beating team. She, and Bills fans were elated that they didn't add to the lore. But the thing about, if I ever feel lonely or I need that little hit of getting 100 likes on a tweet, I just rip the NFL officials and it's like party time, USA.
Dopamine.
Yeah.
Dopamine. I do the Kevin James meme. I'll do any, I just put it on. It's like quick 1K likes. Like, yeah, I did it. I got it.
I still don't even know what that meme means. Like, I still to this day have no idea what it means. What it's for, why it exists. I still don't know. What bothers me about the Kelce play is, like, I feel like there was no analysis of because of what happened. Like, no one really analyzed. Like, I still don't understand how he had the time to see Tony and then make that throw. Like, but there was no breakdown of it because all everyone wanted to do was talk about the offside. So it was a bummer.
Yeah. I mean, if you want a lot of likes, just tweet anytime in the afternoon. You don't even have to be watching football. What is roughing the passer anyway? ? I don't even have to watch a game and boom, bring in the likes. Right.
And you could also tweet, there's no dumber rule in sports than when it's a touchback when the ball goes out of bounds in the end zone. That's 1,000 likes easily too.
That's it.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to recap the year 2023, talk about some sports media stuff, some regular sports stuff, some pop culture stuff. Here's what I wanted to ask you guys off the top. I'm pretty sure I know the answer for Perloff. Okay. So we're all NFL guys. Obviously, Schrager, we don't, I know Perloff is NFL. I'm pretty sure Perloff, your second favorite sport is the NBA easily.
Well, do you college football is a different sport because college football is moving up on the NBA. I'm going to be totally honest.
Okay. Okay. That's good to know. Shregs, if you had to pick a second favorite sport behind the NFL,
NBA,
what is it?
NBA hardcore. Okay. And especially post NFL season. So, like, as much as I couldn't get into the in-game tournament, too much stuff was going on, but like NBA playoffs, like I will stay up late. I will be up till 1 a.m. watching, you know, Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, you know?
Right. All right. So, let's start with this. What do you guys think the biggest, most important NFL story of 2023 has been so far?
Peter, you go first. Peter, go first.
NFL or sports story?
NFL, and then we'll do non-NFL. I figured we'd break it down. That's why I asked you that question.
Mine is not a flash in the pan. Mine is a full long year of Aaron Rodgers coverage. Mm-hmm. I think it started with the darkness retreat. It quickly went to the Jets recruitment when, without having him on the roster yet, went out to Malibu and foolishly alerted, you know, people that they were going to Malibu. So there was paparazzi catching them leaving his home in Malibu, to the actual announcement on McAfee itself, which felt like it was, you know, it was like a fireside chat with FDR. Like it felt like it was Frost Nixon, the way that was treated. I think that thing broke the internet. I think that got McAfee whatever he ended up getting from ESPN. That was like the final kiss on the cherry on top, or whatever you want to call it, because that was like the one event I remember everyone watching at once as a nation, to the trade. And then you add in the summer of hope with the Jets. I got to be right there as a fly on the wall. NFL Network sent me as a part of this, back to football Saturday or Sunday weekend. The NFL, they'll make a tent pole something out of everything. So we decided we're like, all right, on this weekend in July, we're going to send all our people everywhere. We're going to launch NFL Plus officially. So like the first thing on NFL Plus was my interview with Rodgers, where fresh off the Sean Payton quotes, he told Sean Payton, with me, keep my coach Nathaniel Hackett's name out of your mouth. And I'm like, all right, we're off and running. And then Hard Knocks, and then the injury, and then the speculation that's just carried off ever since. So I'm going to say the Rodgers story was the biggest NFL story, because he actually left Green Bay and he actually got to the Big Apple. And I know it seems like distant memory now, but when he was going to those Knicks games and the Rangers games and the Broadway plays, and he was at Carbone with Zach Wilson, and he was at Carbone with Sauce Gardner, and there was paparazzi, he was playing every card right in this media. He had him wrapped around his finger. I think he even converted his biggest haters and skeptics during Hard Knocks. And then it all comes crashing down with the injury. And now we're left, we're ending the year with, shock jocks on stations I don't even know, like calling him out for getting a fullback cut so that he could stay on the active, the full Aaron Rodgers experience in every single way. And it looks like he's not going to play after all, but like the speculation that he might, if the Jets were good enough to, I think that's a roundabout answer to just saying Rodgers was the story of the NFL this year. And he only took 4 snaps.
By the way, Peter, you made Hard Knocks, that interview, not only did it become national news when it happened, then you were there in Hard Knocks in the high def NFL films. Was totally awesome.
I was digging it. Trust me. Anytime I see my face on national TV, I get a little excited. There you go. I'm an egomaniac. Andrew, what about you?
Okay. Here's the thing. The Aaron Rodgers thing. I'm on CBS Sports Radio. Goes out all over the country, 6 to 10 a.m. Shameless plug. The Aaron Rodgers thing, there was fatigue about it. And I do think, let's get real here. There's a lot of Jets fans in the media who make a lot of noise about Aaron Rodgers, mainly Mike Greenberg and Rich Eisen. And there's a New York flavor to this. I think the rest of the country was a little bit less into the Jets than New York was into the Jets, which makes perfect sense because everyone likes their local team. I mean, Rodgers is a 1A. It is the biggest story of the year. I am going to go off script immediately. My second story is, I'll tell you what does get calls. Dak Prescott. Now, I know that is, and it's a year-long story. So Dak throws the 2 picks against the Niners. All Dak does all of last year is hit guys between the numbers, bounces in the air, and the defense gets it. So I spent all summer listening to people tell me how terrible Dak Prescott was. Now, Dak Prescott's good, and the same people who are saying how terrible he is are saying, oh my God, how could Cam Newton call him a system quarterback? Well, you called him a terrible quarterback just 4 months ago. So we get so much reaction to Dak. Then he gets on mic going, yeah, here we go. I feel like Dak Prescott is always going to talk about how to get likes, how to get phone calls on a sports talk radio show. Just ask how good Dak Prescott is. And I feel like the Cowboys obviously are always number one because of their popularity. To me, Dak has been a huge story this year.
Jimmy, can I interject here?
Yes, go ahead.
Travis and Taylor is right up there with both of those.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
You disagree? You disagree?
I totally disagree. That's not a legitimate NFL story.
I agree with that, by the way. Like, I wish
you said Aaron Rodgers, he said Dak Prescott. For me, it's sort of flown under the radar until recently, and now it's getting a lot of hype. But the end of Bill Belichick in New England.
Right on.
I think, I don't know.
It's such a slow drip because it's been so bad this season that like every week it's, what's his future? Well, Tom Curran had something. NBC local, but then Ian Rappaport had something that said, well, maybe not. Like, it's such a slow drip, right. And
it's a slow drip. It's a slow drip, and it's sort of the opposite of what you had said with the Jets and Aaron Rodgers, where everything was being leaked 24/7. The Patriots, you don't know anything about the Patriots organization. They keep everything quiet. But to me, I hate the discussion that you know, Belichick is nothing without Brady. I think that's completely not fair. And I think whatever the breakdown is in Brady versus Belichick in terms of who's more responsible for all those rings, I think when you've had the career Bill Belichick has had in New England, like, he should be able to go out on his own. Like, I'm going to be fascinated to see the wording and how, you know, Bob Kraft's not going to come out and be like, he's fired. They'll say, you know, it's time to move on, parting of the, whatever it is. But for Bill Belichick to get fired, like, Brandon Staley's a guy who should be fired. Bill Belichick should not be fired. Like, the divorce is going to be fascinating to see when it happens.
This is kind of what I do for a living. I would say this. There's been an expectation there that the end is near, and I think it will be amicable. And I think the question is just how it ends. And I don't think it's going to be, I don't think there's going to be any acrimony, if that makes sense. I feel like this is in the works and there's a big lead up. It's not like they're going to go 8-9 and lose in the last week. And then the next day it's like Black Monday. Like, what do we do? Like, this has been a conversation for weeks, for months. And I've heard others say it. I do believe there are three people that know: Belichick, Jonathan Kraft, Robert Kraft, because I know a lot of people in that building. And they'll ask me and be like, well, what are you hearing? I'm like, what am I hearing? What are you hearing? Like, well, we're not hearing anything. So Tom Curran's as good a local guy and as good at Patriots beat in like 20 years. Like, he is the guy if someone's going to report it. So I don't doubt his report that there's obviously conversations.
Let me ask you this based on sources and what you know. It's very anti-Belichick to maybe like have it announced. I don't know if their last game is at home or on the road, but you'd think they'd want to have some sort of send off or final goodbye before their last home game. That's not his style. Like, do you think the season ends and then the week after the season ends, they announce they're moving on, and there's no goodbye from the Patriots fan after he won a million Super Bowls there? Like, it's going to be weird.
It wasn't for Brady. Brady lost on Logan Ryan pick six against the Titans on a forgettable Saturday night playoff game. No. And then he never played.
It'll be great for the NFL if Belichick goes to a new team, right? You know, starting next season.
Won't that immediately become the story? What's his next team? Will there be a trade? Right. He can do the on to Las Vegas or whatever, just like on to Cincinnati.
I think as we record this, he's 17 games behind Don Shula for the record. Now, the stalking horse there, or the staking horse behind him, Andy Reid's like 20 games behind that, maybe. And like, there's a chance that Belichick devotes his entire next 2 years to getting this record. And then in a year later, like, Reid just blows right by him with Mahomes.
You know, when I was a kid, I would never thought Tom Landry would ever be a losing coach and get fired by the Cowboys. Vince Lombardi, Washington.
It always ends ugly, dude.
It always ends, you know, Emmitt Smith in a Cardinals uniform. Not always, but most times.
All right. I like that we had three different answers there. Now, do you guys want to, you have a biggest or favorite non-NFL sports story from 2023 that stood out to you that you'd like to mention? Go ahead, Perloff.
I'm going to go chalk since Peter got Aaron Rodgers in the NFL. I agree with Sports Illustrated. Deion Sanders was the biggest story of this year. Now, I think it's complicated. I don't think he was the biggest sports story necessarily, but he symbolized everything going on with college football. NIL, transfer portal, celebrity. He brought this program, it was terrible. Brought in 69 guys. And he also showed, you know, you're a media podcast, really showed a lot about the media. You had the game where Gus Johnson was openly rooting for him against Caleb Williams at USC. It spoke to so much that is happening in sports. There were so many distractions with it. I've never seen a story where what was actually happening on the field was so layered with so many other layers. And then Kenan Thompson went on Saturday Night Live and just gutted the whole Deion experience, saying, yeah, we're the best team in the country. And Colin Jost on the Weekend Update said, yeah, but you're 3-3. He's like, yeah, he was acting like he was undefeated. There's just lunacy around Deion early in the season. And I've never seen a story like this. And I think the impact is just starting to get felt. And I'm a sucker too. I was totally into it.
Gotta be honest. I think we all were. And I think the college football is where my head goes too. I go to a couple months later, thought the whole Michigan scandal and the way people were taking sides. And then you had this like open, strange part where, Jimmy, again, you're a sports media podcast. You had guys like Eisen and you have guys like Schefter and Tracy Wolfson, and they're Michigan alums, and Taylor Lewan is all over Barstool and he's one, and Dave Portnoy is a big voice in Barstool and he's one. And then it became this like Michigan, us against the world, and Harbaugh's a good guy. And then you've got all the Ohio State people who, whether it be, you know, the Albert Breers or the people who just in general just root for Ohio State, you know, calling it as a different way. And it, for me, as someone, now my wife went to Michigan, so I'll give that as a full disclosure, but like, it all just felt icky. I'm like, I don't. And then, like, the coach was crying, and it was like, how'd you do it, coach? I don't. So they're playing in a big bowl game. Harbaugh's back, the whole thing. I hated that it wasn't about the kids. It wasn't about the football. And that seems to be college athletics right now. So I'm pretty cool just being in the NFL and talking about what's going on over there.
Plus, you also have, like, the complete disbandment of the Pac-12, which is you could have actually went there. I'm gonna go with baseball here. And this is definitely a New York heavy thing, but I think the Texas Rangers winning the World Series is something that not a lot of people pay attention to, but here's what I like about that.
Go on.
Everyone thinks if you have the highest payroll, you're going to win a World Series. Everyone thinks if you buy the best free agents, you're going to have the, it doesn't work that way, especially, see, I think with baseball, 162 games, you need a high payroll to get in the playoffs. Once you get in the playoffs, anything can happen. So, like, we're seeing, like, the Dodgers giving Shohei Ohtani $700 million is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. Now, it's not dumb from the standpoint of business and branding and marketing, but I was under the impression that if you own a baseball team, the goal is to win a World Series. I was wrong because it's all really about marketing and branding. But if you want to win a World Series, you give a player $700 million. You have to win like three World Series minimum in 10 years for that contract to be justified. And guess what? The money does not make you win a World Series. There is not one person on the face of the earth, whether they like baseball or not, who thought the two teams in the World Series were going to be the Diamondbacks and Rangers. That unpredictability is good for a sport, and
that
it shows
you. Wasn't even the finals. I think it was Astros Rangers, dude. You don't even have the teams right.
Oh, the NLCS, whatever. No one thought the Diamondbacks were going to get there. No one thought the Texas Rangers were going to win the World Series.
All right, and that's good. That was the story of the year.
And you're wrong. It was the Diamondbacks. So you're correct.
Yeah, by the way.
Wrong.
Yeah.
So you're going to mock me. You're wrong.
Jimmy, it's not like they're not the team in Hoosiers. What? They have Max Scherzer.
That just enhances my point. They didn't even play. They were both hurt.
I can't get out of this conversation quicker. What's next?
Jimmy, yeah, you don't even baseball. Know
call up John Heyman. What do you want from me?
I don't want anything from you. I'm just telling you what I think. I don't want anything from you.
Wait. So you don't think that the Taylor Swift story is a big deal, but you think the I'm just curious. I thought
the Rangers payroll was the story of the year.
I don't think the Taylor Swift story is an NFL story.
Oh, okay. I hear you.
That's all. It's a pop culture story, and it's a nonsense story, but it has nothing. You said Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott, and Bill Belichick, and then you say Taylor Swift. It's not a football.
When we say Taylor Swift's name on Good Morning Football, the responses are vitriolic.
Oh, people get mad at you still?
Oh, get that out of our show. Get that out of your mouth. We don't want to hear it. And it's not about Taylor Swift. It's to your point, Jimmy. People are watching Good Morning Football. They want to hear about the Jaguars-Bucks game. They don't want to hear about Taylor Swift's new ditty.
Listen, I could go on about this for 17 hours, but you guys mentioned Aaron Rodgers, Dion, Taylor Swift. I mean, the story is what a complete embarrassment the media is. That's what the story is, but I don't want to, it's too heavy.
Do you think the media is exploiting Taylor Swift by showing her on the screen and just trying to get a new audience and trying to click off?
Exploiting is absolutely not the right word. Not exploiting. They're losing their minds for no reason. It's embarrassing. When a player in the Chiefs scores a touchdown who isn't Travis Kelce and they cut to her, how about on the Kadarius Toney penalty? They showed her before they told you what the flag was. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
I have to
the media
think
has embarrassed
metrics,
itself.
I have to think these directors have been doing this for 100 years. Like Rich Russo's Fox's director. I don't know who CBS is or ESPN's. They've been like, Russo's been doing it. I have to think that there is empirical data that like this is good. I think a lot of new viewers are watching and they enjoy.
Yeah, I don't believe that for a second. Yeah, I don't believe that. Do I think there are some lunatic Taylor Swift fans who are watching Chiefs games? Yes. But do I think someone is going to order Peacock and watch Bills Chargers on Saturday night, the night before, because Taylor Swift is dating Travis Kelce? No. I mean, can we use our brains and just have a little common sense?
Yeah, but Jimmy, come on. First of all, they've shown restraint the second half of the season, if anything.
I agree.
Yeah, they haven't gone as heavily.
Yeah, you know why? Because he hasn't played well. That's why.
Well, I love when they go to Bradley Cooper at Eagles games. There's fun to see celebrities at games. Look at a Knicks game.
I'm not saying they shouldn't go to her. If she's in the suite and he scores a touchdown, of course they should show her. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about throughout the whole game for no reason. There she is.
Like, it's what's a the point? Love story, baby. Just say yes. Is that how it goes?
But I understand.
Isn't that wrong?
It reminds me so much of the Super Bowl. The networks are not interested in the three of us. We're watching the game no matter what.
Yeah.
Okay. They could, no matter what they do, they could put the game on at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they could make it, you know, you can only watch the game if your left leg is on your chair, and we're going to sit there and we're going to watch it. They don't care.
Jimmy, can
about
I give
us.
You some
they're
advice?
Trying to get the fringe fan.
Can what? I give you some advice? Shake it off. Shake it off.
I mean, again, just embarrassing. Like, embarrassing.
Hey, Jimmy.
All right. Yeah.
Can Shelby...
Real quick, can I get in here?
Yeah.
It's go you. Ahead. It's me. Yeah. I'm the problem. Mm-hmm. It's me. I don't even know the words.
Yeah. Can Shelby go back and auto-tune this to make us sound better? Is that possible?
No. No, you embarrass yourself. I'm going to leave it in.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep expert. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Well, this could lead right into the next topic, which is the media stories of the year. The sports media stories of the year. Now, you're both biased because you work in media, so we have to take everything you say with a grain of salt. But is there a story, a show, anyone you want to shout out? I'll go first since you guys are thinking.
Yeah. This is your niche, dude.
I've got two things that need to be discussed. One is the split personality of Stephen A. Smith.
Yes, he gets very blue at night, right?
Oh, blue. No, blue is nothing. It's like, it should be on the Spice Channel, his podcast. Does that still exist? I don't even know. He's
I used to have giving the scramble, out like the scramble channel, just listening. Yes, go on.
He's giving advice on like what positions you should be doing, what you turn offs, turn ons, breasts, butts, like, and then he's on First Take screaming about Nikola Jokic. Like, what is going on? Like, I actually think he's setting himself up to like leave ESPN and do like a late night show. Like, he's clearly setting
up. Can I ask
up,
a naive question?
Which is fine. But
where does that, Stephen A. Smith thing air? Where is it air? Because I see the clip.
YouTube.
It
it's a podcast.
It's on YouTube.
No. Okay. YouTube. It's a podcast.
Yeah. It's our company. But Odyssey does it. It's great.
What
great
he podcast. Discusses is off the charts.
Yeah. It's amazing. But you know what, though? He leans a little blue on anyone on ESPN, he'll say something a little off color. Not really.
Not.
But I'm not surprised. It's like, yeah, not like that. What's the other one?
Not like this.
What was the other one? I like that.
And the other one is, I do think I get a sense, and it's really happened a lot in the last couple of months, but it seems like there's a really big athlete versus media reckoning coming. Mm. Like Micah Parsons this week doesn't want to be criticized by the media. You know, we're all of these athletes now, the Kelseys, Paul George, they all have their own podcast. They put the narrative out there that they want. They don't need the media. And it just seems like, Greg Popovich telling fans not to boo. Yeah, Cam Newton, that was the one from recently. Like, it does seem like it's going in a bad direction. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's not pretty right now.
Yeah, but it's always been like that.
The difference now is athletes have their own platform to fight back, tell their own, like Cam Newton and Michael. Like, I mean, I do think
I'm okay with that. Why? I mean, to me, it's an open forum. Everyone wants to shit on Orlovsky's playing career. Orlovsky's better talking about quarterbacks than all the people who criticize him.
Listen, I have no issue with it. I'm just saying it seems like the athlete versus media battle is getting very more and more intense. And I wonder if it's going to keep getting worse, because athletes seem like they don't ever want to be criticized by the media anymore. That's like the big thing. Like, how dare you criticize us? So like, I don't know where that's going, but I don't know. I mean, if I were a coach of an NFL team, I don't know if I'd want my guys having podcasts during the season.
I think that bird has left the cage.
Yeah,
I agree. You're right. You're right.
It's tough. You can't say boo because these guys are, there's interest in it. And I'm not as, I don't want to say threatened as a media guy. I almost welcome it all because it gives us more fodder. And if there's an original thought, like the Cam Newton take this week was actually really well thought out. 8 minutes, 9 minutes. To me, it was something that people responded to. Then it, became a conversation about whether Brock Purdy is a game manager, and then B, whether there's gatekeepers in the media and what that means. Because the issue isn't that Cam Newton had that take.
The issue isn't that Cam Newton had that take. Cam Newton then gets annoyed if people disagree with the take. Well, if you're going to put a take out there on a podcast, people are allowed to disagree with you.
Sure.
Yeah. Former athletes don't take criticism as well. That's a fact. But that's okay, too.
And current.
Yeah.
I don't take criticism well either, honestly. When someone comes at me, I do. I think a lot of us do in the media. So, if you took a shot at Mike Greenberg, I'm sure he'd be upset, too.
My only point is, if you're going to put out opinions and takes, which you're entitled to and you should do, people are going to disagree. You can't just be like, "Oh my God, you don't have the right to disagree with me." I mean,
But as they get older, they're like, Micah Parsons is going to get closer to actually being in the media. I think he'll chill out a little bit because like Richard Sherman was combative as a player and then went into the media immediately. I think like Parsons, when he gets older, will realize it's a game. Right. Like, you got to have back and forth.
Right. Well, that's Dr. Aaron Rodgers knows it's a game now. So now he's just playing a game every week with McAfee. Yeah.
And he's amazing. It's so much fun.
He knows, he knows how to string the media along, and the dopes fall for it and write everything he says.
How about honest Tom Brady? What do you guys think of candid Tom Brady kind of going?
I can't wait for him to go to Fox. He's going to be Schrager's partner next year.
I'll be working with him
on Fox.
I'm excited. Amazing.
That's awesome.
I thought his take on the KZ suspension for the season was in real time. It was really good. I thought his comment about quarterback play being at an all time worst is really good. Jimmy, I heard you and Sal Licata talking about it on your mailbag. I don't know if it's a three-man booth. I don't know if it's a two-man booth. I do know that like Brady has been watching the NFL this year very closely, and I work with Gronk and Edelman, and like he sends them his notes. Like he's in it. It's not like he's gonna just like pop in and be like, "Hey, I'm Tom Brady. Let's talk about my career." Like he studies the game. So curious to see what he is, but I like the fact that he's honest and candid. We'll see once he's in the booth whether or not he can do that in real time, or these are, you know, just kind of things he can kind of percolate on and do as thoughts after the fact.
Psychoanalyzing Tom Brady for a second, that thing about how quarterbacks today are not protecting the receivers, that's one finger pointing at you, four back at me. I bet you if you added up the number of concussions anybody's ever given receivers, Tom Brady has to be number one.
Why do you say that?
Wes Welker basically called himself the boss. I mean, come on, but Brady worked the middle of the field. Look at the Edelman play in the Super Bowl. He let him right.
You sound like Alex Smith right now. Like, you're outraged.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I'm not outraged.
I wouldn't knock Brady.
But no. This, like, I know. Of course you wouldn't knock. Of course you wouldn't knock Brady. He's your coworker now. But come on, this Tom Brady to say that take, like, they were not getting guys killed back then seemed funny to me because Brady threw but all
you're
over
missing
the middle
his point
of the field.
Altogether. His point is that the onus would be on them. If he got his guy hurt, he would be hanging his head and they would crush him and say, you can't throw that pass. Nowadays, it's the league says, oh, he can't be going for it. Like, there's nothing Casey could have done. And Casey doesn't have a bad reputation in the league, and he just lost three game checks. So
You guys are missing the entire point of this, I think, if I may. And this is what I've been dying to talk about this. I'm so glad you brought it up. Here's what I love about this. So here you have Tom Brady worth, I don't know what, $500 million, maybe more, who knows. Greatest quarterback of all time. Possibly single, possibly dating Arena Shike. Who knows what's going on. The man can literally do anything he wants in the world. And he's leaving comments on an ESPN Instagram page. Blows me away. If you're Tom Brady, why would you even have the Instagram app on your phone? You're Tom fucking Brady. You should be above leaving comments on Instagram. He's in the muck like all of us now. He's just one of us. A big Peter, loser like us.
But Peter, you know him a little bit. He seems like a kind of down-to-earth guy, right? Or am I kind of seems like maybe
he's not a different, like he floats a little bit like in that, like he's kind of this like celestial being. We'll see once he's grinding it out.
He's really down to earth. He helped open the Fountain Blue last week and played craps with Justin Timberlake. Yeah,
he's down to earth in that, like, he's a guy's guy and everyone can hang out with him and everyone.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
Like, how many expatriates have I worked with over the years, whether it be McCourty's or even like end of the roster guys, and they all swear by Tom. So, yeah, I think. But I'm curious, obviously, it's a grind. It's an 18-week season. I think he'll be flying a different way than I fly. I think he'll be living a different way than I live. But, doesn't matter. Week 11, when you're going to Lambeau Field and you got to connect, through an airport and you're calling a game and it's 10 degrees. And then the next week, it's Thanksgiving and you got to be in Detroit. Like, it's a real grind. So we'll see if he's into it.
All right. Can I give you one of my stories?
Yes, please.
It's related.
Yeah.
I think it's been percolating for years, but the fact that there are two gatekeepers of all NFL news right now became a public thing this year. Dov Kleiman and Ari Mayrov. Hopefully I pronounce it. And the fact that Garrett Wilson tweeted this year, he said, I actually pulled up the tweet and I wanted to read it. I ain't gonna fake it. I thought Dov bro tweet was a news break I was waiting for, shaking my head. I don't know anything. Sorry about that. When he thought Aaron Rodgers signed. And all these players always quote tweet Dov Kleiman, who's an aggregator on Twitter or X. I just think it's really interesting. And then it became a big controversy because my buddies Boomer Geo made a big thing out of that. They were in New York. Like, who is Dov Kleiman? Just the interesting way media has changed where the gatekeepers of the news might be aggregators.
Andrew, so good. What a comment. Someone put it this way to me. It used to be anonymous sources we used to roll our eyes on. Now it's anonymous reporters. Like the amount of times I get so frustrated, Jimmy, I'll have a text from like a reputable person in the NFL and be like, see this. And it's a tweet from a site I've never heard of, but like, it's got 1600K likes and the players all, and it's bullshit. And I'm frustrated because I consider myself a journalist and a newsman. And like, there's other times where I'll say something on air and I'm not one of those guys like, I didn't get credited, but like, it's on one of these sites. And then I'm not saying Dove in particular or any of these guys, but there's a million of them. It's the anonymous reporters now. And we're all in the same muck of Twitter where it all just gets in the same. Now, Jimmy, you seem like you're going to contend this. To me and Pearl, this is real.
No, listen, I love that Perloff brought this up. This is why I love doing this podcast. I love that he brought that up, but this is so absurd because it just shows you how the number one problem in this world is how dumb people are. It blows me away. Those guys don't report anything. Anything they tweet, they say, from Adam Schefter, from Jay Glazer, from Ian Rapoport. They don't report anything. They always tag the person who's reporting it. So the fact that people are so dumb to think those two guys are the reporters makes me weep for this country.
Let me tell you
They're not the reporters.
Let me take it
They're
from the reporter's side.
They put Schefter's name on the tweet.
Let me take it from the reporter's side.
Oh my God.
I can say
something.
If they
didn't credit them, it would be one thing.
I could say something on Fox. I'm going to give you a different side of it and why it's shocking. Like, I could say something on Fox NFL Kickoff, which has 3 million viewers. Can I just give a little plug to our show? Fox Sunday mornings. We beat ESPN handedly last week. Like, we do.
Congrats. You beat Rex Ryan.
Well, we get very good numbers, and it's a real show, and it's on Fox, and it's got a huge, you know, talented cast. I'll say something, and in real time, it'll be breaking news. But it might not get the same kind of traction. If Dove Kleinman is watching my show and posts the video of me saying it, or he reports that I said it, which I respect the hell to the fact he at least tags me and all this stuff, it'll get 20,000 views and a million different comments. So they amplify news. And what Pearl's saying is right. They might not break the news, but they can kind of be the steering of the ship of like what takes off and what doesn't take off, because every one of these players and fans follows them. The amount of Jets fans that text me as real friends of life who aren't in the NFL, I'm like, did you see this? And it'll be from a source that I don't even know.
Well, I would expect it's that from maddening. A Jet fan. They're deranged. They're not sane individuals.
But like Diana Russini will post an article on Saturdays, I think. It's for her weekly article in The Athletic. And Dove will tweet out every nugget she has. He'll credit her. And it becomes in the news cycle, and I don't know if she just posted the article and tweeted herself, if that would be the case. So they have a purpose and a value. They amplify and they kind of steer what people in the general population are reading. Maybe not.
All right, but when you have someone text you,
look for the byline, everything they read.
Well, when you have someone text you that, do you write back and say, you're an idiot? This isn't from Dove Kleinman. It's from Adam Schefter.
It says right. Adam Schefter. So
you're like, part of the problem. You're part of the problem. But educate people.
Dove's pretty good. There's actually a couple sites that have a lot of followers that are less reliable and a little looser.
Yes.
I've known Dove on DM. Never met him.
But you say you know him. Time.
Yeah, I swear. He's been communicating with me for years. And he's more responsible. You're right. He does credit. There are some that actually go, one that gets criticized a lot, I'll just say NFL Rookie Watch. Says some things on there.
What is NFL Rookie Watch? I don't even know it.
I know it because a lot of reporters.
I like that you decided to come on and give the names of the ones that are not reputable and put out all the garbage.
Candid.
Yeah,
I know, but I don't want it. Don't give me the names of the ones that are not good.
Yeah, anyway, they'll go with Lucius. He's like, there was actually, I don't even know who had this report, but remember the report that Marvin Harrison Jr. was offered $25 million to stay at Ohio State? That was then amplified by somebody and became a big thing. And it turned out it probably wasn't a real thing.
The one that's a good example of this. Real quick.
Go ahead.
I think it came from our guy from Part of My Take, PFT commenter, and he wrote in the Athletic font that Josh McDaniels dressed up as Mark Davis for Halloween. And the reason he got fired is because he's a big Halloween guy. And
P.F. Chang's was involved, right?
Chang's. And the amount of people that just run with that story. And like legitimate people texting me.
I don't want to make a dark turn, but I find it
right. That's where I get scared for society.
So everyone covered that, but no one covered Chandler Jones saying that Josh McDaniels helped kill Aaron Hernandez. Why did that story just come and go? I would have liked to see a follow up on that.
I didn't know that. That's great. I mean,
know Chandler Jones was saying like there was some. That Josh McDaniels, go see what he did. He was involved. And Aaron Hernandez didn't kill himself in jail. Someone murdered Aaron Hernandez. You don't remember Chandler Jones saying all that?
Yeah,
seems exactly right. That we just let's go. Who cares about that? Right?
I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. Obviously, Chandler's going through some stuff, so I don't think we want to give too much credence.
And why is no one helping the guy? That's what I don't know.
All right. There are people helping him. I'm trying. Let me give you two little things for me. I'm going to shout some stuff out. One, we always do these end of the year awards, and Awful Announcing does it in Big Lead. And sometimes I wonder if I'm even in the same sports media world as some of these award givers and nominees. And I'm just like, okay. And to my discredit, maybe I'm on a show for 3 hours every day. I also have a podcast, and I also work on the Fox show. So I don't live in like the Lebatard world as much as some of these voters do. So I don't know all those references. I don't live in some of the other worlds that are out there. Like the gambling sites have all their stuff. I live in the draft world. I think Daniel Jeremiah is so freaking good, and I don't see his name on any of these lists. I'm a colleague of his. I think he's funny, but Jimmy, this guy in his mock draft before the draft said the Houston Texans are going to draft CJ Stroud with the second overall pick and then trade up with the Arizona Cardinals to get the third overall pick, take Will Anderson, and said it as clear as day. That's exactly what happened. And then on top of that, is a fantastic draft analyst. I know we love Kuiper and McShay, and ESPN has the lead stuff, but I would just say one of the guys that never gets mentioned, and it's not because I'm patting him on the back, but like the draft is as big as anything in this world. But because it happens in March and April, and we give these awards out in December, we forget just how good he is. So I think that's one thing.
Well, I think the problem there is there's just so many people who do mock drafts that it sort of gets watered down. That's probably what hurts him.
He's the best at what he does.
I'm not saying he's not.
I'm head and shoulders above everyone else that it's like criminal that like he doesn't get mentioned. So that's one thing, because I live in that world. The other one's going to be controversial. Controversial.
It's not going to be as bad as the fake NFL reporters, but go ahead.
I think Carissa Thompson deserves lot of kudos for the job that she does hosting two of the most prominent studio shows in the NFL. Sideline reporter drama aside, Carissa corrals that nutball crew on Thursday nights, which is full of personality, with Sherman and Whitworth and our guy Fitz and Tony, who I worked with, who is all over the map and great and amazing in a lot of ways. But Carissa does that, and then 3 days later is on with my dumbass and Edelman and Woodson and Vic and Terry Bradshaw wandering into the set and Strahan coming on over, and she corrals us. I think Carissa's one of the best hosts, and because of this sideline reporter thing from the, like, she just got, you know, totally discredited, but I'm going to say as a colleague and as someone who's watched her work for years, one of the best hosts, and does it on two different shows. There's only four or five big pregame shows. She hosts two of them and is great and is well-liked. So I'm not going to get into the journalism side of it as much, because I think she took her beating and everyone got her pound of flesh on that. From the work, Carissa's really good at what she does and never gets mentioned in those conversations.
I only have one issue. I will check, but I'm 99% sure you did this last year.
Did I? I rallied the flag.
Magic, Carissa? Yes. So you really like Carissa 2 years in a row.
Damn. I just
can't say one thing.
Yes.
I think she's the coolest. I'm a huge fan. I thought that was really kind of, I hated that story about the silent reporter. I knew how that must have been really tough on her.
I hate bringing it up again because it only drags it up. I didn't want to go there.
It was sort of misrepresented by everyone too. I think it was overblown in a weird way. But anyway, yeah, I'm a big fan as well.
It's all right. You find out. When people reveal themselves. So now Carissa knows what people think of her and who thinks of what. And, you know, you take your list. That's what I would say.
It is a fascinating. Go ahead. Oh, let me just say on Carissa for 1 second. It is a fascinating thing to see when someone messes up. You think that I just think it becomes such a, like, I think it happened with Romo, where, like, everyone decided Romo's not good anymore. So then it became a thing. They're doing it now with Al Michaels. Like, now it's like, get on there and say Al Michaels sucks. Guys have been doing this for like five. Like, I think so many people don't even believe what they say it, and they just want to just chime in and sort of just be part of the group. That's what I think. But go ahead. What were you going to say?
I think one media trend that's been existing, I've heard, Peter, you've talked about it too, and I'm going to credit Dan Patrick, my former boss, the ensemble cast sports show that Dan openly credited Howard Stern for, you know, brought in characters that they're called the Danettes on the Dan Patrick show. Strong front lead with Dan. Now McAfee has recreated that. The guys are out. McAfee are awesome. And Big Cat and PFT
Yep.
Now they've built, much like Dan, built this beautiful palace in Chicago, and the guys around them are amazing. And I just think this idea of this universe of a sports show to elevate to beyond sports, where you want to see the interaction. And there's just so many talented people. And, you know, I credit Dan for that trend, but McAfee's awesome. The guys around him are awesome. Big Cat is amazing. You know, Rich Eisen's done this to some extent. I just
there's
love
something,
this.
There's something to
this
be
social
said
for, feel.
And Jimmy, yeah. You'll love this. The show within the show. So everyone says, I love Stern because of his interviews. And they do. I love Stern because of the drama between Sal and Richard and Ronnie. And like that's the stuff that I love. The Office stuff. And Barstool does a really good job of it. Like Portnoy, I don't know him at all. I've never met him. He'll just bring it up. Like, I think this guy might get, you know, this guy's like being lazy at work, and then they'll have like episodes about it. And then Big Cat will bring up, you know, here, Rico Bosco. And like, here's what he did. And he messed up. And this is stuff like the Office politics stuff. That's a very Howard Stern thing of like what's going on behind the scenes. And I think when you live and die, not live and die, but when you live and breathe with these shows, like it's juicy, it's good. So I do appreciate that ensemble stuff, but that lives beyond the 3 hours you're on air.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
I need to interrupt for some breaking news.
What do you got?
This is breaking. Literally happened within the last 30 minutes. We have a tweet from Josina Anderson to Dove Kleiman.
Okay, go on.
Quote, if you're going to use a reporter's content in your tweet for your own engagement / money, please don't bury said reporter's name at the bottom of an extended link that has to be clicked in order to discover who the report actually belongs to. That's not the same form seen on your more recent tweets. It's your timeline, but that's basic courtesy, in my opinion, and the least you could do.
Interesting.
Josina Anderson to Dove Kleiman. Your thoughts?
Josina's on the ground. She's often in a locker room late on a Sunday at 1 a.m. She's doing the work. She just wants to make sure that her work is being represented. I feel it. I get it.
And it felt like she was listening in on this podcast.
That's
and
amazing.
Yet, I didn't see whatever Josina probably replied, but if Dove had tweeted it out, I probably would have saw it. So it's this double-edged sword. You want the Dove clicks.
I saw it because Andrew Marchand retweeted it and wrote, agree. So now let's see if the pylon comes. It could be a Dove Kleiman pylon day.
Yeah, but I'm glad we brought up the topic before that tweet. So we right. knowing that we didn't steal it. But yeah, first of all, yeah. I think Dove's pretty responsive. I'll bet you he says, I'm sorry, and I'll try and put the name up higher.
Right.
And listen, if you guys ever getting a fake Adam Schefter tweet is the worst, by the way. That's my greatest fear. I've walked into the studio at times in the morning and be like, can you believe this story? So-and-so.
Jason McCourty, in real time, Jason McCourty just sent me one and I said, come on, J-Mac, you're better than that.
I'm not better than that. I've gotten fooled.
I had it last week where I saw a tweet. I sent it to my buddy Sal Licata and then realized it was a fake. Had to retext them and be like, this was fake. Thank God he didn't, because I didn't put it on Twitter. I'm careful with Twitter, but I thought it was real, so I texted it to him. It was like, yeah. It was so bad. It was like, it was a tweet from some fake account that said, Tommy DeVito got in a fight with the Giants social media staff because they wanted him to list his favorite Sopranos episodes.
There we go.
And I was like, look, this is, but wait, all right. So picking up about the ensemble cast, I will say, I always feel like I'm in a very small minority, like a 1% audience.
Yeah.
That I've always said, like, I love Sal and Richard and JD to death on the Stern Show, but I prefer the K-Rock years to the Sirius years.
Me too, of course.
For the reason you said, he would be fighting with the FCC, fighting with Tom Chisano. That created such amazing, and then within the group with Jackie and Baba Boo, like that.
Well, there's a little bit of a rebel feel to it, which McAfee still has.
Yes.
And that's why I think McAfee's appealing in a lot of ways, because Pat will take on these same ESPN bosses that are paying him, you know, gobs of money. He'll say, well, you know, I'm probably not supposed to say this, but I'll say it anyway.
Yeah, Dan does that too. Dan takes on ESPN. He'll take on a lot of people. A lot of these guys do PFT. Yeah, I think you're right. You have to have a little bit. Levitard will go against the establishment. Those guys do a lot of it. I think you need a strong lead too, by the way. That's a given. Like, you can't just have a group of dudes. And maybe you
can. But it also helps.
But you need a strong lead. Yeah.
It also helps in the case of Barstool.
Yeah.
It helps that when you're not affiliated with any leagues. Like, McAfee, I think even McAfee probably has to be a little bit careful.
Sure.
But like Barstool, they don't have to worry about anybody, so they can do what they want. But a lot of these shows, you know, Levitard is going to be a different show now than when it was at ESPN. Dan is very lucky. Dan, well, he's tied in with NBC a little bit, right?
Yeah. But Dan is maintains his independence to a large degree. Yeah.
But there's always, if he's affiliated with NBC, he's always going to be a little more careful when it comes to NBC. It's just the way it is. You have
Jimmy,
to be.
Can I tell you something that I enjoy? I like segments on podcasts now. And I'll tell you, like, they're Ryan Russillo with his crew. They do that life advice at the end of theirs. I love.
Awesome.
I love that. I love you and Sal. And I know it sounds crazy, but the train of thoughts. And when you and Sal just talk about Sal's search for a house, like, it's legitimately like something I really look forward to on a weekly basis. And
I know that
sounds crazy, but like that stuff where it's behind the curtain a little bit. Another one, you know, Simmons with Cousin Sal on,
I was about, like, to say that. It's like comfort food.
Is like comfort food. Like, I know I'm amazing. Getting. So there's something to that too. The ongoing like relationship between a couple people, and they have like, they pick up stuff, and that's all credit to Howard Stern.
Right. And I have to, if we're going to go on this road, how can I not shout out the Mad Dog for what he does on First Take with that "What I'm Mad About" segment?
You like the Mad Dog? I didn't know that, Jimmy.
It's so funny. Jimmy, yeah,
I keep it hidden.
I think you deserve some sort of commission. The way you tweet about Mad Dog, I love him too. We grew up with him, obviously. But I don't watch First Take because I'm on air also, and I guess just whatever. Right. But I see all his stuff via you, which is really the amazing nature that we're living in this ecosystem.
Someone at First Take was smart enough to realize he just needs his own segment, where it's called "What I'm Mad About," and he lists three things he's mad about. But it's like all over the place. Like, it could be, you know, his gambling loss. And, you know, Taylor Swift and all that, so. The gummy thing was amazing. And the only thing I want people outside of New York to understand is, like, that is not an act. It's not an act in any way, shape, or form.
You and I discussed it early on when he was going on First Take, and, like, people were, like, upset with his. I'm like, I don't think, they don't even get it. Like,
Right.
And I would text, like, they don't get it. Yeah, I'll stay in New York. Like, I think that the morning show that they have Boomer and Gio, like, I think Sal's really good on radio in New York. Gio's really good on New York. I like
Gio's
guys
awesome.
Who, I like, I don't know Gio. These are the things, like, I have no dog in this fight, but like, I love when guys, I can't really, and I don't really have that personality. I like when guys shake shit up and like Russo does it. Sal does it. This Gio in the morning will do it. Like, he'll take shots at, I mean, when it's so in the weeds, but like a Gio versus Gary Myers fight, like that is
nasty.
So New York. Yeah. It's so nasty, but like,
that was nasty.
That is entertainment in a lot of ways, and it's real, and it's there. No one's they're being authentic, and it's like people. Like, it's a nice diversion from the real stuff that matters in the world. Which
what I like about the Boomer and Gio show is, and this is what I've always said I liked about Good Morning Football. They don't take sports that seriously. Yeah. That's what I like about it.
Yeah.
I mean, when you see some of these people, the way they talk about sports, it's like, oh my God, you got to relax. I just want to say, I brought this up last week with Marcia. Like, the people destroying John Morosi because he said Shohei Ohtani was going to sign with the Blue Jays. Okay, so like the dust settles, the smoke clears. Let's evaluate what happened. John Morosi said he was going to sign with the Blue Jays and he signed with the Dodgers. It's okay. We'll be all right. We'll survive.
Life goes on. Okay. And guess what? If no one reported he signed with the Dodgers, we would find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Boomer makes okay. He made
Boomer consistently makes fun of how I walk, and I have a major issue with that. I walk in the morning at 6 a.m. with Boomer and Gio. We always walk in together. Gio's the greatest. Boomer just shreds me every morning. It's hysterical.
What's the problem with your walk?
I swing my arms like this because I have no idea. I walk funny, and you have to. And Peter, you've been around. Like, Boomer's an alpha male. The dude's about 6'5" in playing shape right now, and he walks in and he's the kind of the loudest person in the room. And so, like, I immediately I revert to high school. Oh, the high school quarterback's making fun of me when Boomer's here. And he's perfectly nice, by the way, but he's also. It's just like Boomer's a lot. He is really like a big personality in the morning. Gio is awesome too.
I'm going to cut that clip of you saying Boomer's a lot, put it on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Boomer and Gio talk about it. I want to give a shout. I want to mention one thing too. I'm not going to mention cool plays that you do or angry runs that Kyle does because everyone knows I love you and Kyle. You and Kyle come on all the time. You guys have open invites. Like what you say about Russo, about me and Russo, I get that about you and Kyle. Everyone knows I love you and Kyle. So I want to say that I do love Jason McCourty. The Fit List.
Fit List is a great segment. Explain what the Fit List is. Jimmy, why don't you let the listeners know? Because some people don't watch Good Morning Football. I read this awful announcing and this big lead, and I don't see anything from Good Morning Football, and I'm just wondering if anyone is in the same ecosystem as me. Go on, Jimmy.
You're never going to make that list if you keep trashing them.
I'm not trashing. We have a great show, 3 hours a day, all season long. Will you give us some love?
So NFL players, when they get to their stadiums on Sunday mornings, a lot of them are in ridiculous, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean that in the positive and negative way. Ridiculous outfits, flashy outfits.
For the listener at home, Jimmy is in a hooded sweatshirt right now. Yeah. Go on.
No one's coming to the stadium dressed like this. So, what Jason McCourty does on Tuesdays is he recreates the looks and calls it the Fit List. But also breaks down what people are wearing, their bags, the colors, it's everything tremendous. About it. He had the leather pants on a couple of weeks ago. It's a really good segment. It's a really funny segment.
I really appreciate you saying that. I got to say, you know, I'm sure you would speak the same about Maggie. Like, McCourty is a great, great co-host and is a fantastic sophomore season breakout star. I know Marchand wrote about him and Devin. They're both awesome guys. I watch Jason every day. I think he's really interesting too. Like, he's not reading stock answers. He doesn't read stats. One of the problems with the ex-player, path in media is you get in there, you make your splash. Then the second year, like, what are you going to do? And there's a tendency to go and just read stats and say, well, you know, when I played, like, I think Jason's unique. So I appreciate you saying that. And I think he would love to hear that also.
I ask one more podcast question.
Good.
I have a podcast real quick. What's your take on the celebrity interview in the sense that, Peter, I love, like, you had Hank Azaria on when with the Jets, and Jimmy, you have a lot of celebrities on, and some Dan Patrick, when he interviewed, he had Kurt Russell and his son on the other day. And I loved it. That was awesome. Rich Eisen has all these Hollywood stars, and it's always really interesting. Do you guys like the non-athlete interview or do you guys think that, like, the sports shows should just stick to putting the athletes on?
They absolutely should not just stick to putting sports people on. Yeah. Absolutely not. No.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
My number one.
I'm pissed. Wait, I just want to say one thing. I'm pissed because I saw this morning, I think it was part of my take, had Zac Efron and Jeremy Allen White, who were in this movie, The Iron Claw, about the Von Erichs.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Absolutely, you need to put those people. Like, any sports show that just has sports people, that's dumb. It's just dumb.
My number one most downloaded podcast. Now, obviously, he's an A-list star. Was when I had Paul Rudd on for 2 hours last year. So, like, people do love hearing it. Now, I'll be honest. You know, the Smartless podcast with the Arnett and Bateman and Sean. Like, I'll look at the guests. Like, I'll scam over it if I'm not really into whatever the guest is. I'm not going to click. Mark Maron, I listen to a lot. Like, if the guest isn't someone I care about,
but that's with anybody.
Yeah,
Conan. Yeah, Conan O'Brien. This that genre as well. Yeah.
So like Conan, like if it's like a comedian that I want to hear, like, but if it's someone I don't, so it does matter. And in the sports world, like. This is going to go crazy. Like, I don't have a lot of current players on my podcast by design.
Yeah.
And that's a Colin Cowherd type deal thing where like, they're great to talk. Like if you're a current player, you're going to be guarded by nature. You're probably not going to open. There's very few exceptions. Like a George Kittle talks, a Baker Mayfield talks, a Micah, you know, those guys, they'll talk and they'll be, you know, Max Crosby's a great guest. They're probably best in post-game interviews or on the studio shows like Good Morning Football or like that, but like for a long form podcast discussion in season, I would almost much rather have the celebrity who's going to be candid and talk about their fandom than the player who's going to be reading message points and trying to stay away from controversy.
Yeah. Peter, you know, you actually interviewed Paul Rudd. I didn't know that Jimmy liked Mad Dog Russo and you know, Paul Rudd. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Whatever. Paul Rudd.
All right. Hey, you know where we had lunch the other day? Do you know where we were? Pearl, you'll love this. Clark's Diner right there on Clark and Henry. One of the best.
Hello. Hello. And invite. I live near Peter, but you'll love this, Peter. I walk into him the other day. We haven't gotten to this yet. And my daughter goes to me, is that the guy that you were watching on Jeopardy? And I'm like, yes, that is. Because I made my family sit around and watch Peter Schrager on Jeopardy. That's my highlight of the year.
You were having a heart to heart when I saw, I was trying to get a run in and you and your daughter were walking around Brooklyn Bridge Park. I didn't want to interrupt. You were like having a good daddy daughter moment. I could tell.
Yeah. Yeah. My daughter likes to go on these long walks and have like the Jimmy Carter Peace Summit talk.
I love it.
Peter couldn't get in the way.
Baby. Can't pay it.
But we got to talk about Jeopardy at some point. That was the best thing that happened this year.
We did a whole podcast about it. We did a whole podcast about it. Debbie Gibson, we covered it all. All right, let me go to this. We've talked a lot about the sports, media, sports in general. Give me non-sports, what did you enjoy this year? Show, podcast, movie, anything. If you want.
I have a list.
Okay. Oh, yes.
TV show, The Bear Season 2 was...
That's on my list, so right off the bat, you screwed me. Go ahead.
A lot of people... We agree. We're friends. We get it. A lot of people are hesitant on The Bear because they feel like they missed the boat. You didn't. They're half-hour episodes.
It's only two seasons.
The soundtrack is amazing. Season 1 is a great season. Season 2 is incredible. The cameos are amazing. I will go and I will specifically say that I had a near heart attack during the Knives episode, but then the very next episode,
no spoilers,
which was Forks, is maybe the greatest 30 minutes of television you ever see. I walked away crying and just uplifted and ready to, you know, crank up some Taylor Swift and go drive around Chicago. That was one. Can I give you some more?
Hurry up.
I don't have to hurry. I'm going to take my time. Monday mornings, Puck, where John Orand just left and went. There is a podcast from John Kelly and Peter Hamby, where it's called Monday Media Mornings, and they talk about big picture media, all the different like acquisitions. The podcast called The Powers That Be, but it's all about like what's Zaslav doing, what's going on at CNN, what's happening. I find it from an NFL insider standpoint to not have my 10 toes in that world to listen to these guys. John Kelly kind of runs that whole Puck organization, which is great. I would suggest Monday mornings there. I still love Simmons and Cousin Sal on a Monday. I think that is fantastic. Quickly, a couple other. Have you heard of We Might Be Drunk? Have you guys heard of that podcast? I think I have actually.
Sam
Morril, who's a fantastic comedian. Yeah. I know Shelby.
Oh, yeah.
You probably know Sam. Sam's a New York comedian. And Mark Normand, they do it once a week. Great. And then I would be fascinated if you guys, do you guys know who Stavi is? Stavi Baby? Do you know Stavros? No. Okay. That's it. Stavi's World. Stavi's World. It's a little blue. It might not be for everyone. No
what
sports.
Is it?
He's this comedian that's just
no. I'm saying, is it funny. A show podcast?
Podcast, but he goes on and has other comedians on, and it's like it can go anywhere. But they do the same thing at like Rosillo does. They do like life advice. They have people call in, and they go from there. And then last but not least, we mentioned all the sports stuff. But I am a SNL from back in the day. Dana Carvey and David Spade. Now Dana Carvey is dealing with a horrible tragedy right now. I think they're kind of on hiatus. But David Spade, Dana Carvey interviewing.
Oh yeah, they have that podcast.
It's amazing. Fly on the Wall. And it's like everyone from Sandler to Chris Rock to you name it from recent years. Those are some of the things that I like to divert my attention from when I'm not thinking about ankle injuries and contract negotiations.
It's a great list
for tight ends.
It's a great or Taylor Swift. Great list. Great
I
list.
I like Taylor Swift. I'd love to have her on my podcast if she wants.
I'll go real quick. I'm going to just take all the coolness out of this podcast and say the last season of The Crown was awesome. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah.
Olivia Colman in that or no?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But
it's over, right? Like it was a series finale.
They did the season where Diane died and Dominic West from The Wire is awesome as Prince Charles.
Right.
Just a couple podcasts. I'm curious if you guys listen to this. Cover 3 on CBS and the college football podcast is really popular. Cannell's the name on there, but everybody, Chip Patterson, Bud, they're great. GM Shuffle with Lombardi and Femme. You guys happen to listen to that? Mike Lombardi's take.
No.
If you need takes, that dude does takes. You might not agree with all of them, but he is not shy about anything.
So that's like a weekly listen. You'll listen to these guys. Like they come and they pop up on your feed. Like,
yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah, Tuesday. I want to hear Lombardi because he's got strong opinion. And he's obviously connected to the Belichick family and he knows what he's talking about. These are friends. Sam and Steve, I listen to the PFF NFL podcast. Pretty popular. It's a PFF, a couple other. My boss, Spike Eskin, has a Sixers podcast called The Rights to Ricky Sanchez, which is wildly popular. Every team's got a podcast, and there's such a good set of them out there that I can only give out the Philly ones. And then The Red Scare, I think I mentioned it last year. It is maybe the most controversial podcast out there.
That's with what's her name?
The woman from Succession. She's an actress.
Succession,
so... They just did, for example, they just did a half hour on Henry Kissinger's death. That was the most different thing I heard about Henry Kissinger. They're brilliant. They're funny. They're impolitically correct. And they make people mad, which is an incredible skill. And also, too, it's just there's a lot of the same out there. And as Peter said, something different. So that one stood out to me this year.
Jimmy,
you guys
what about you?
You guys are so eclectic.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
So you mentioned two of the things I wanted to mention, which was The Bear, season two. And like Peter said, if you have not watched The Bear, don't be intimidated because it's only two seasons and they're a half hour each episode. So you can get through it.
Like Pearl said, really The easy. Crown, like I didn't watch one episode yet. I feel like that's a that's 10 summers.
But I will say this about The Bear. No phone in your hand. Phone's got to be down. You got to be locked in.
Can I admit something? I can't watch The Bear. I get too anxious.
I get it. I get it.
It's high anxiety. Man.
I know.
It's a TV show.
It's not a diversion. It is. You have to invest. Yeah. Like
I know. It's like Curb. I know Curb's coming back. And then, I find it so cringy.
I get it.
Oh, stop. Grow up. And then my favorite thing that I watched this year, you mentioned earlier as well. I have never, ever listened to the Smartless podcast, but the six episodes they did on HBO was by far my favorite thing.
It was cool. The tour. It was really cool.
I laughed throughout the entire thing. Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, Sean Hayes. I think there are only six episodes. They're an hour each. It's on HBO Max.
And it was sweet too. Like Arnett's kids came and visited and like they stayed with him. Like it was really good.
The way the podcast on HBO worked is it would be an hour, and the first half hour would be them getting ready for that night's live podcast taping, and then the second half would be the podcast. My favorite thing was the first half hour, where it was the three of them bantering, and the entire half hour, their entire banter is all about eating and shitting. It was the greatest thing. It was so good. And then there is a podcast called Not Today, Pal.
Okay.
The hosts, you will know the names, are Jamie Lynn Sigler and Robert Eiler.
I love it. Do they talk Sopranos or everything?
Both.
So
Sopranos and
Robert
everything.
Eiler was, okay, have you ever heard of Are You Garbage? Have you heard of that podcast? These guys are a locomotive right now. It's two comedians. It's called Are You Garbage? And they just talk to other people about their childhood. And you go through the childhood and it's like, did you have a refrigerator in your garage? What was in that refrigerator as a kid? Like, what was your local supermarket called as a kid? And then they determine at the end of the podcast whether you're garbage or not. Like, are you trash or not? Robert Eiler came on that and was telling life stories about when Sopranos was at its peak and like going out in New York City. And I was captivated.
He had a lot of issues,
captivated. Yep.
You would like their pod. You would like their pod.
Interesting. I listened to Imperioli and Sharippa doing the recaps of the episodes when I rewatched Sopranos last year, and I thought those were excellent too.
Yeah. The other thing I want to mention, it wasn't a show. I mentioned this on the pod recently, but I was very, very lucky to see Bill Burr at Madison Square Garden back in November.
How was it?
I can't describe how good it was. I just can't.
Like, isn't comedy having a moment right now?
Oh, yeah.
I laughed from the minute it started to the minute it ended, nonstop.
Why does it feel like is it because we need it? Like, why does it feel like stand-up comedy is now, like, it? I watched the Nate Bargatze special. I'm crying, laughing, and I needed it. I'm like, it's so good.
I was actually down on stand-up comedy for a little while because it felt like everyone was doing this. Like, it felt like every stand-up comedy show was about people getting canceled. And it just, topic got so, like Bill Burr, I don't think he mentioned the word canceled once in the 2 hours he did.
Two hours.
It was all, I think he was on for, I think, more than an hour and a half.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was incredible.
Bill Burr, no one has ever had the ability to have a two-way conversation with one person on a podcast like Bill Burr.
That doesn't himself. The Monday morning podcast, he's talking to himself. He's like, oh, hello.
Yeah. Then he has to ask himself a question, and it makes it feel like I'm listening to two people. I mean, he's a genius. So.
Genius. Yeah. That's my problem. Like when I watch that is like, obviously you want to hear what he has to say and you're trying to laugh and get some, but I'm riveted by the act of doing it. Like how he remembers
him in a hotel room,
the voices, like the process is fascinating as well.
There's a whole crop of these young comedians in New York right now, and in Austin, and in LA, yeah. And like, I think there's something brewing. I think this is going to be a good decade of like, you know, and it's black, it's white, it's woman, it's every, like, I think every, like, it's comedy is having a moment. I think we need it. Honestly, like, it's good to laugh. Yeah. And there's no movies that are funny anymore. You're not allowed to put out a funny movie. And very few shows are actually funny anymore.
It's insane what's happened with movies. It's insane. Yeah. Well, I think I've been to the movies once since COVID. Not because of, like, COVID came, so the movie shut down.
You don't have kids. I've been to all of them.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, Barbie Oppenheimer, though, it's the comeback. I think the success of those two movies is going to spur a lot of theater movies. Barbie was a comedy. They're going to try and recreate that.
The only movie I saw in the movie theaters was the Jordan one?
That was great. Air.
With Matt Damon. Air. Yeah.
Can I tell you my Air experience? So my wife's best friend got married. Courtney, hello. This was in April, and we went down to Florida. We just had a new baby girl. So this is the first trip we're having. It's like 2 months removed from having a baby. It's finally we're away, and she's a bridesmaid in the wedding. And it was in Florida. So I wake up at 9 a.m. and one of the other, you know, husbands of one of the bridesmaids texts me. He's like, what do you want to do today? Like, I haven't had this, Pearl, like, kids, you don't have days where it's like, what do you want? He goes, there is a 10 a.m. showing of Air at a movie theater that's walkable in this, Fort Lauderdale. Do you want to go? I go, are you serious, bro? That sounds like the greatest day.
Can I just interject one thing? I can't do a movie at 10 a.m., but go ahead.
Not only did I do the movie at 10 a.m., I got a giant Starbucks, a Trenta-sized iced coffee, and a tub of popcorn and watched Air. I swear to God, I walked out of there. I'm like, that's the greatest movie ever. And I just had the greatest morning of my life. Like, I was just pure joy. I'm like, I love this movie. And
I'm so glad we brought it up because that should be on my list. I double checked. It was 2023. So Air was definitely one of the best things I've watched this year by far.
Can I get a worse?
I'm really looking forward to Iron Claw next week. Go ahead.
Sports documentaries. Oversaturated. And you saw the Florida documentary was the beginning of the downturn of the entire industry.
I didn't even watch it.
You guys didn't watch it? It was the most disappointing documentary ever.
Why would I want to watch Johnny a documentary about Urban Meyer?
Because it's the most fascinating team. If you had an outside documentary, I mean, at Aaron Hernandez, at Percy Harvin, at Urban Meyer.
I'm not done with sports documentaries. I just think you've got to have the right filmmakers and the right people doing them. It can't just be anyone. You know, doesn't need to be produced by the athlete, about the athlete. I'm kind of...
What other ones did you want to mention, Perloff?
Well, no, that was my point. Yeah. Actually, I kind of like the Johnny Manziel, but they should not have... And Jeter, too. Like, I thought Jeter was too close to it. You need an outside... I love Marty Fish. We talked about it last year. The Marty Fish having a breakdown in the cab on the way to play Roger Federer. They're not doing that anymore. Now it's these vanity projects. I think it's a shame because with all these streaming services, sports docs were getting awesome. And now they're getting... sort of watered down by the producing being from people like, you know, the athlete himself should not produce his own documentaries.
Yeah. I watched the Johnny Manziel one. I thought it was awful, and I didn't watch the Florida one. So I can't really. Yeah.
I didn't see the Kelce one. I didn't see the Barry Sanders one, and they're produced by NFL Films, so I should probably see them.
Yeah. I heard Barry is good, but I haven't
very seen widely one. Viewed, and like it seems like everyone likes him, but you know, same thing. Like it's just a lot of content.
It's a lot of content.
I'm amazed that you guys watch all that you watch with your hours. You're both on in the mornings. That you know, you got games at night. I don't know how you squeeze all this stuff in.
Yeah. The games, by the way, I just switched to a morning show. Peter, we have to have an offline meeting. How you done it for this long?
You did it with Dan.
No, but we were 9 a.m. Eastern. This is 6 a.m.
He's on at 6. Oh. Yeah, 6 a.m.
I'm on 6 a.m. So it's a different animal.
But you're downtown, downtown Manhattan is where it is?
Yeah, Tribeca.
Okay, so what, at that hour, the commute, you take a car, you're
10 minutes
away. Yeah, so.
It's not.
All right, let's end the.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I would say it's halftime of Ravens Chargers, and you're looking at an alarm that sets off in the 5 hours, Jimmy.
The eyelids get heavy. Oh, yeah, I know the story, dude.
All right, let's end with this. Give me your Super Bowl prediction. And final score. I, for the record, will say that this week I put a $20 bet down at plus 1300 on a Bills Niners Super Bowl.
Yeah, good one. Go, Peter, you go first.
Real quick.
Is there any way that it's not going to be the Niners? Let's start with that. Is there any way it's not going to be the Niners? No, it has to be. Unless like McCaffrey and Purdy get hurt. Like, take out injuries.
Jimmy, as you know, I've predicted the correct Super Bowl winner.
I know. I know.
Five years in a row.
Nice.
I'm on a television show, so it's there. I pin my tweet every year. I currently, as we head towards this stretch run, and I'm sure this is airing probably a week from where we're recording this.
Yep.
I currently am looking at a Kansas City Chiefs remaining schedule of the Raiders. They have not played that game yet on Christmas Day. The Chargers, and I think the Chiefs and the Bengals in between. And I think the Ravens and the Dolphins could start plucking each other off. I think there's still a chance that it's the Arrowhead Invitational for the sixth straight year. I picked Chiefs over Niners back in September before the season. I will not budge. I am not giving up on Reed and Mahomes. As great as all these other teams look in the AFC, when rubber hits the road, Patrick Mahomes has never proven me wrong. I am going with Chiefs over 49ers in the Super Bowl.
So that's what you predicted before the season?
Yes. And I had Christian McCaffrey as my MVP before this season. Pat on the back.
You said that on this podcast. We had a whole conversation about that. I wish
My preseason pick, I'm going to stick with my preseason pick then. It's going to be Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC. Okay. And of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers in the AFC, because some idiot watched preseason too closely and thought Kenny Pickett could sling it. Mm-hmm. And they were 7-4 with two games against 2-10 teams. They were headed to the number one seed. God, did I get burned by that. But I'd go, if you gave me Mulligan, I'd go Niners, Ravens, kind of a hopeful one because I want to see. Fit. Yeah, I mean, listen, obviously.
Retroactively, we saw it Monday night.
Yeah, I like that we have three different AFC teams in there.
Real quick, Jimmy, can we just do quick shout outs as the year is over? People that we thought kicked ass. Mike Tirico kicks ass. You never talk about him on your podcast. I think Tirico is fantastic.
He was on 2 weeks ago.
You know, talking about generally, everyone gives Iron Eagle the love and we get Joe Buck the love. And I love those guys. Those are like brothers to me. I want to throw Tirico in the conversation. I want to give my colleagues, Jamie, Jason, and Kyle, much love. Good Morning Football is as good as it's ever been. And we like doing the show every day. And they're just bringing it. Jamie's about 25 weeks pregnant. She's hauling her ass in from Jersey every day. And she's kicking ass. And I want to give my Fox NFL kickoff people, Edelman, Vic, Carissa, Woodson, and our producer, Jeremy Manel, some love. So that is
Edelman's great. Edelman should be a big media star as far as I'm concerned. He came on the pod before the season. He was great. He's very amusing on his podcast. I think he's a good guy too.
We've hung out a lot off camera, humble brag. But he's a really good guy. Gronk's a really good guy too. Like, these are good guys. And I'll say it, there's not a lot of Jewish football players. Julian Edelman's one of them, and it's a very politically driven time right now. And Julian Edelman is very proud to be a Jewish American and speaks about it openly and says, if I can inspire any Jewish kid to be proud to be a Jewish person, that means a lot. And I think that goes a long way and isn't discussed ever, but I respect it. And Julian wears it and lives it and breathes it, and much respect to him.
Yeah. Patriots Hall of Famer Andre Tippett converted too. I want to point that out.
Saw that.
We're doing shout outs. Okay.
Like Rod Carew.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sandler.
Much. Thank you. Thank you, Sandler.
I only know that because of the Sandler. Yeah.
OJ Simpson, not a Jew. We're doing shout outs. Okay. Well, can I just
since you said that, I just hijacked. Do you know that OJ Simpson is on a podcast like regularly?
Does he do it with Mason, Cameron, and those guys?
That podcast is awesome.
I don't listen to the clips are amazing. When they read. Yeah. They read Cameron's direct message to Nia Long. Like, that's epic shit. That's why I like where we are.
I can't support a podcast that's going to have OJ Simpson on.
No, I get it. I'm not a subscriber, but I saw that clip and laughed.
Shout out DP Show, Paulie, Seton, Fritzy, and Marvin, still top of the game. Rich Eisen, Chris Brockman, my guys, Big Cat, the only person who says nice things about me in the big time national media. And Maggie Gray is amazing, your friend Jimmy. Peter, you got to come down to our studio one day after your show and hang out. You'd like
Send me a car service and get me some Carbone afterwards, and maybe I'll consider it. No, I'm kidding. Yes, of course I'll.
Are you represented by DeVito's agent? Is that
my man Stilato?
And all my new friends, because I'm right next to FAN. You got Jimmy, you would love it. Your buddy Sal Licata, Boomer is awesome. Gio's awesome. Tiki Barber's awesome. Brandon Tierney's awesome. And the CBS Sports Radio crew is unbelievable, and a lot of cool people. And my boss Spike Eskin, because if I didn't do that. And my other boss, Chris Olivero, and my mom, and my cousin.
Oh my God.
And I didn't know we were doing shout outs.
I was going to say, if Shelby knew this was coming, I'd have him play the Oscars music and have you
But I don't. Now the thing is, I'm panicking. Who did I leave out? I didn't know.
Don't worry about
that.
Let me ask you.
Well, I'll show you. Yeah, I'll show you how to do this. Watch this. I'm not giving any shout outs.
There you go.
That's all. That's
there
it.
There you go.
My shout outs are for the people who listen to this podcast and the people who come on.
Can I tell you what I appreciate, Jimmy? I appreciate your podcast. It comes up once a week. Yeah. I always listen to it. I also like...
We don't have to kiss my ass.
No. I like Marchand and Orand. I hope they keep doing theirs. I'm a sports media wonk. I love that stuff. So here's to those guys. I'm hoping
you really should have a media podcast. You have opinions on everything.
I do. Maybe in the future.
Can you have a media podcast, though, if you're on Fox and NFL?
I'm generally pretty... positive. You know what it is? Martin Short, the late Charles Grodin, those guys were known as being great late night guests. Like Johnny Carson would have. I go on Simmons. I go on with Traina. I go on with Coward. I go on with the Part of My Take guys. I like fancying myself as a great guest. I don't need to be a host.
You're a good guest.
I enjoy coming on. I like playing that role, so I'll roll with Charles Grodin if that makes any sense.
Or like
Charles Grodin was boring. Martin Short is the one.
Albert Brooks,
but Ian Eagle told me he's my Martin Short, so you're gonna have to.
Okay, I love Ian. I'm happy for him.
Did you guys see the Albert Brooks documentary recently?
Did. Yeah, I loved it.
The ultimate guest. Yeah, no, Peter, I'll listen to you anywhere. Jimmy, your podcast is awesome. Your Twitter feed is my favorite, too.
Do we have a Dove Kleinman appreciation? Yeah. I'd like to thank Dove for all his work.
And Ari.
Dove's trying to get the knife from Josina Anderson out of his back right now.
Peter, is there anyone?
To sign off and see.
Peter, is there anyone more honest than Jimmy on Twitter, though? He can't not be himself. Like, it's.
I think Marchand is pretty honest too. Andrew don't give a shit either.
I'm not as honest as you are, Jimmy. I appreciate that because people have been asking you to be something else for a long time and you've refused and it has worked out.
I would like to be more honest, but who wants to deal with all the aggravation?
Way off in that, like maybe it's like I live in a different ecosystem. Like I sometimes see not the list or anything, but like I don't know all the stuff that other people are watching as far as like, I'm not up at, at certain hours. So I just know what I know and what I like. And I just hope I can offer a little commentary on what I do know,
You're great. That's why you have an open invite. You guys come on anytime. And this was fun as always. It's we think fourth annual, but maybe third, but probably fourth annual end of year.
We got PJ Clark's next summer, guys. We'll do that one too.
Yes.
Come on, we're always like, let's hang out in 3 weeks, and then we see each other 4.5 months later. What is going on there?
That's all right.
You guys work at 6 a.m., that's why. All right, I got to wrap it up. Schrager, Good Morning Football, Fox, on Sundays at 11 a.m. What's the name of your podcast?
The Season with Peter Schrager. I'm really proud of it. I love it. Dude.
All right, that's it. I'm giving you a plug. Perloff, Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio. Only have one gig? Usually people have more than one gig in this business.
No, I got one gig. You could get us, obviously, podcast and our CBS Sports Radio YouTube is a wonderful experience because I'm more about it's the handsomeness more than the voice.
Jimmy, let's get Sal Licata a house before the end of the year. What do you say?
Well, I'm nervous about Sal.
GoFundMe page. Let's go.
People can hear about Sal's house in the previous episode of the podcast.
Oh, my gosh.
He'll be back
renting. He's got a mortgage. He's renting his own house. This sounds like hell, but I love it.
All right. Happy New Year. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys.
All right. Take care. Thanks. All right. My many, many thanks to Peter Schrager and Andrew Perloff. They are tremendous, great friends and very entertaining podcast guests. Can't thank them enough for doing this yet again. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you are not a subscriber to SI Media with Jimmy Traina, hit the subscribe button and check out recent episodes. Last week was an all Traina Thoughts mailbag edition with Sal Licata, so give that a listen. AEW wrestler MJF was on the pod recently, as well as WWE wrestler Seth Rollins, Andrew Marchand, Booger McFarlane, Mike Tirico, all recent guests on SI Media with Jimmy Traina. So listen to those pods, and again, please subscribe. All right. Happy New Year. Hope you guys have a great, healthy, safe 2024. And we'll see you next week. Stay safe and take care.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.